Hallelujah. Amen. It's a pleasure to be at my home chapter from time to time. As we were having the praise worship and I was putting my gadgets together, some of you could have seen the smoke that came from the LCD projector. And I knew that the generator had surged and sent very high voltage into it. And Dr. Titilo just confirmed that. Praise the Lord. About 3 years ago in the U.S., I was getting ready to present something at Christ Church International. The first time I was going to talk to them on our work here. And we had done a lot of editing of the video on computer, my brother's computer. And suddenly the computer started to malfunction. We thought it was a small problem. Both of us, we got onto it. We opened it, you know. Maybe it's this one. We'll check it out. Try again. It wouldn't work. Then it occurred to me. Go and use two video recorders to just extract some things and keep that in case this one will fail. So I left him. I said, continue. I got two video recorders, connected them, and started to extract bits and bits, no clips. That computer never worked again. It broke down completely. He sent it back to the factory. You follow my point? The devil is unhappy when you want to do anything that glorifies Jesus. We can afford to lose material things, but he cannot touch us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. I wonder how many of us have ever read this book. It's been around for some time. How many have read it? Just raise up your hands. Okay. We have about seven people who have read it. That's what I'm talking on. And the reason that I'm talking on it is because it is good to hear somebody teach from a book that he wrote. No matter how smart you are as a student. Do you follow my point? If the author of your textbook is teaching the subject, you can always learn something. Hallelujah. And the reason that is so important is because we need to understand these things. And we need to understand them so well that we can minister these things to others. The Holy Spirit impressed upon me to write this book. I did not even know what the content would be when I started. And as I wrote along, revelation after revelation, he showed me things and things to put in it. It's a little book. But when you look at the contents, there has never been a time when I would get into discussion with a Muslim. The kind of questions they raise are answered. There are three of them. And I will explain these things to them, and they will not be dumbfounded. Do you follow me? They may not say, okay, I want to accept Jesus. You see, there is a self-pride about nonsense things. You follow me? But may God give you humility in all things so that you can set your pride aside and accept that which is true and correct and spiritual.
Amen.
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 Jesus and you, here's sonship. If you have a dictionary, you can look for the word sonship. I assure you, you will not find it. So it's a new word. Write it by hand into your dictionary. Praise the Lord. But the word speaks for itself. I put it there because that was how the Spirit led me. I didn't want to search for another word. His sonship explains what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to have two teachings on Monday evenings, and then we'll have one teaching closing at an outreach. Next Monday, I'll bring copies of the book. Those who don't have one, you can buy one. I think it's only 79 naira. That's two bottles of Coke. One Okada right now. One Okada right now. It's no big deal. Like I said to people, I've done that at Miracle Center or elsewhere. If you're positively sure that you cannot get 17 naira, when I bring the books, I'll give you a copy. Period. Praise the Lord. Believing the word of God is the best thing that can happen in the life of anybody. When a man is in the world and he believes in himself, or just has some kind of philosophy, psychology, and all of it, he may think that he's doing very well because he's just looking at himself as himself. He's not really comparing himself with God's standards. So he feels good in himself. You may have heard people say, "What else do I want? I'm married, I have children." Do you follow my point? So what else do I want? If God takes me now, I have children after me. You know, those are nonsense values. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
People feel so satisfied with material things. But then, if the same man gets born again today, he gets to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets born again. See, his values begin to change. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He may sit down and look at himself, and he can go to confess, "It's true, I have made a lot of money, but I made this money fraudulently." You see, if he is truly born again, then he will realize, "I have made my money fraudulently. I have a lot of children," but he comes to realize, "Four wives. The day that I took the second one, I committed the greatest error of my life." Do you follow my point? So what I'm saying there, values change. Your perceptions change. So your values change. The apostle Paul said, "Those things that were so precious to me, I count as dung." Do you follow my point? That has to happen in the life of anybody who has come to believe the word of God, to accept the word of God, and to live the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Abundant life is not found in material things. Look at all material things. They are the things that money can buy. Do you follow me? Whatever money can buy, look at all of them. Anything that money can buy is perishable. Are you with me? Anything that you can buy with money is perishable. The things that are not perishable are the things that you cannot buy with money. They are not the temporal things. They are the spiritual things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 4 to 11. You're very familiar with it. But let us look at what Solomon said here. If you have a copy of the book, you can always read the passages from the book. "I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that are in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Who else can teach this lesson better than Solomon? The man looked at all things and finally looked at them and said, "Nonsense. Nonsense. Vanity." Solomon was the wisest of kings. Praise the Lord. But in the pursuit of his vanities, 1,000 women in his life. Do you follow my point? And finally, in his old age, he bowed to idols. So what foolishness will be more than for him to whom God appeared and turned and made a vow and fulfilled it to ever bow to an idol? May God help us. In Mark 8, 36 to 37, Jesus himself said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus said, if a man gathers all of the riches of this world, when he finally strikes the closing balance, praise the Lord. He has gathered all of the riches in this world. He strikes the closing balance and he gets a negative balance. Because when he was gathering them, he failed to put his soul in the salvation of the Lord. So he's ready to depart and he has nothing to take with him. He's going to leave a lot of riches behind. But he has nothing to take with him. Because those things don't go with him into the spirit realm. So he has lost everything. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Indeed, Solomon himself said, if you go to read the passage very well, who knows who is going to inherit these things after me? Maybe it is a fool. And who inherited it?
A fool.
It was a fool who inherited it. I pray that we will not labor in vain.
Amen.
Amen. How do we then know what it means to believe? How do we know what it means to believe? The Muslims, for example, will say, "I want to bank account." Do you follow my point? You are not the only ones who are believers. We also believe in something. So anybody can be a believer. If you believe in Shago, then you're a believer by their theory. Do you follow? So long as you believe in something, they say you're a believer. John 3:16, which we know very well. Can we say it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this is what the scripture is talking about, that it is not when you just believe in anything, it is when you believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. That is what makes you a believer. Praise the Lord. So any other thing that you believe makes you an unbeliever, because you have not believed the word of God that magnified Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And in verse 18, Jesus said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So whatever else a person believes becomes irrelevant. The only relevant name is the name of Jesus. Now, believing calls for what we call faith. They work together. Hallelujah. They work together. So let's look at the concept of faith. What is faith? I know that we know it. Somebody can tell me up here. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, because we have a learned president here. You're blessed, sir. Have you ever presented in evidence before my Lord sitting here something that she cannot see? My Lord. The lawyer says, "My Lord, I have evidence." You say, "What is it?" You say, "It's not visible." Will you accept that? No. No. She will not accept it. It has to be visible. You have to bring it physical. This is the evidence. Now, in faith, you don't have to see it. Hallelujah. See how different spiritual things can be from physical things. And that is what pleases God. that you cannot say it, but you say, I believe it. It's not present. You say, the material is right before me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. So, faith then means that you are believing something that is really not here yet. If the thing were here, faith is behind you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't need faith to hold this book anymore. It is here. I'm not praying to God to let me hold this book. God has allowed me to hold it. I see it by sight. I can feel it. It's already a material substance. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we want to look at two areas of faith. One is what I call simple faith. And simple faith means you just believe the word of God. Whatever he has said, just like we have said now, you just believe it. God cannot lie, so I believe it. Period. Our example in the Bible, Father Abraham. Hallelujah. Father Abraham, Genesis 15, 4 to 6, but let's just read that quickly. Genesis 15, 4 to 6. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, that is Father Abraham, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, Lord, you said my children will be like the stars of heaven. I believe you. God says you believe? Then I say that you are righteous. Glory to God. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. So, that is simple faith. The other aspect of faith is what I call radical faith. Radical faith. And our example, Joshua. In the day that Joshua was going to war, and he said, I have a job to do today. You sun, stay there. Don't set. And you moon over the valley of Ayalon, stay there until I'm through with my job. The Bible said, that's never been recorded any day like that. When nature obeyed the voice of a man, that the sun stayed and the moon remained over Ayalon. That was faith. But it's radical faith because you're using me to get something done. Hallelujah. Father Abraham did not particularly perform miracles, but he was a man of faith, just believing God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, having looked at simple faith and radical faith, we now want to look at somebody. And how do you place him? His name is Thomas. Thomas. Where do you place him? Simple faith? Radical faith?
None of the above.
Praise the Lord. Listen to Thomas. Listen to him. The Gospel of John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. Jesus had appeared to the disciples when Thomas was not there. And when he came, they told him that they had seen the Lord. Thomas now spoke. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Lie, I will not believe. My eyes have to see, and my hands have to feel and touch, before my heart will receive it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, what did Jesus do? Verse 27. Then said he, Jesus, when Jesus reappeared, then said he, Jesus, Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you see, it's not over with believing. Some people want to probe. Do you follow me? They want to probe into things before they believe. So Jesus said to him, don't be faithless, but believe it. In other words, after you have used your finger to feel the point of the nails, and you have thrust your hand to my side, at least you now believe. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus was saying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he came, and he did. And then, my God, are you with me? My master. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Did he believe? Did he now believe?
Yes.
He believed. Now he believed. Because he saw and touched and felt it. Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So he still prepares those who will believe without seeing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The reason that we're explaining this thing about the Sonship of Jesus Christ is so that those who want to probe can probe, and we can answer. Answer anyone who asks us concerning our faith. Hallelujah. I was talking on this at one of our lunch hour chapters, and there was a man there. And the man said, thank God. And it may have happened to some of us in the past. The man said, one time a group of us went on evangelism. The people started to ask us, how does God have a son? All of these things that we're talking about. They started to ask. He said we couldn't answer, so we used both face. Praise the Lord. He said we couldn't really answer, so we just used bold face. By the grace of God, after this, we are not going to have to use bold face.
Amen.
They will ask us, and we will answer confidently.
Amen.
And the Lord will be glorified.
Amen.
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 Now, simple faith really does not require that you understand what you are believing. Are you with me? You don't have to understand it. Take me for example. I had agreed without any doubt that Jesus is the Son of God from the time of my youth. Do you follow my point? I never understood it. But I believed it. I believed it so much, I raised up my hand, gave my life. They baptized me. You follow my point? Many of us, that's what happened with us. Glory to God, because you don't even have to understand what you believe. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to. Now, does it help if you understand what you believe? Does it really help? Now, let me read this to you. Jesus and his disciples. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 29 to 31. Let's see what happens here. You know, from time to time, Jesus would say to his disciples, why is it that you lack understanding? He would say something. They would interpret it in another way. This time, verse 29, the disciples said unto Jesus, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man shouldest ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Jesus explained things to them plainly, they exclaimed, aha! Now we understand you. It's not like before. Now we believe that you are from God. So understanding helps, doesn't it? It really helps. Not only does it help you to explain it, when you understand what you believe, it fortifies you. Knowledge fortifies you. In the day of trouble, in the day of tribulation, your knowledge of what you have faith in can help you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It can really help you. As against somebody who says,
Well, they told me
he's the Son of God, so I said yes, I agree. But he can't stand on it. Hallelujah. So knowledge is good. Knowledge does help. And it can really help us in times of trouble and in times when we have to explain to other people. Thank you, Jesus. The sonship of Jesus Christ must be accepted by everybody who will enter the kingdom of God, irrespective of whether they understand it or whether they do not understand it. If anybody will make the kingdom of God in the end, he must at least believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. This is the basis of our faith. And this is, as it were, the vehicle that you ride on into eternity. Glory to God.
Amen.
Let's give Jesus a clap of offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say that if you have a question, you can raise up your hand, please, or you want to say something. It's good if we have a very interactive session. Praise the Lord. Does anybody have a question?
Sure.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm just, this Thomas man. He said, believe everything. When we then put the real Christians, there's just to search and test this. Is it wrong for Thomas really to want to find I wasn't there, just to look to it?
Jesus, like I said, prepared those who would believe without seeing. The Christians of Berea were not denying Jesus. They were confirming the teachings. Like I'm teaching now, when you get home, take what this man was saying, let me look at the Bible. They were using the word of God to confirm what they heard. Everybody must do that. The word of God actually says, when someone prophesies, let another judge. And he's not saying that the one who judges is unbelieving, but rather he is confirming. Is this the word of God? If it is the word of God, great. Yes.
Actually, what I was really trying to point out is you have people come to you, they tell you a lot of things about the word of God.
Yes.
If we just take it as don't ask questions, just believe. I want to see that we might really have a problem there because everybody interprets the word the way he understands it. So, if it is the word of God, then we have to, I know we have to believe that. But if it's coming from man, I think it is necessary for us to test it with the word of God.
Yes. That is what I have just explained with the people of Berea. And with the command that when somebody prophesies, another must judge. It is very scriptural. The reason being that people, like you said, can interpret the word of God the way they want. Now, but what you have to believe is that word of God.
Yes.
Do you understand? Which is being interpreted. You don't have to believe somebody's interpretation. Do you follow me now? Okay. But that word of God, it is written there. You can read it. Believe it. How somebody is now interpreting it, that must click with your own spirit before you agree. And so those who are very close to me will know that. I don't care who is teaching. Believe me, the minister can be as big as heaven. But when I sit there, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, everything that I'm hearing, I will have to edit along. Do you follow my point? The Bible didn't say, unless he's a big man of God. No. Anybody prophesying, which means, whether you prophesy as thus says the Lord, or you prophesy by exhortation or whatever, see, they are also prophecies. People must judge. Okay. Somebody, yes. Hallelujah.
Sir, I want to mention that it's my own opinion.
Could you say it again?
Sir.
Yes.
From my own study perspective, sir, we said to us, is so like, I mean, working with Christ, but he's still acting on this.
Yeah.
So before Christ was crucified, he had said it often to Peter that the man of belief, the Son of Man, have to go into Jesus.
Right.
Why? Because if they believe truly that Christ will be resurrected and returned again, why would they go again to the tomb and see if he's still there? Because they are ways just like Thomas and Peter. So yeah. From the outside look at it, they are on the same platform.
Thomas and Peter?
Yes, sir.
From
my own angle.
Okay. You see, the reason that it was a little hard on Thomas was because, like you said, Jesus had said it over and over. They will crucify him, and on the third day, he will rise up. You see, Jesus had said it over and over. Then finally comes Thomas. I will not. Hey, so positively negative. Do you follow my point? I will not believe unless I see, touch, feel. Do you follow me? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all can learn or improve within their character. Because like now, it's just like how wrong with you, sir, and you said at every 27th of this of the month,
yeah,
just go through this, pick up your envelope, that's your salary.
Okay.
You said it's time to have a salary. And let me. Because if truly Peter believed by the Lord, just like the three people we saw in the Bible, they say either God deliver us or
yeah,
God deliver us,
yeah,
we are not right now.
Yeah.
Now if Peter had a heart and had believed that Christ, because I mean, we need to read in the Bible, there are some places that Peter has only take Peter and John, we go together. He has at least transformed himself and his body. So I don't if to me at least I want the mark of faith. I think I will even rather put Thomas. I will even put him in the real Peter physics. Because Peter has worked with Christ. He has taken benefits. Because he said, oh, at least. He said, come on, this is what I'm talking about. Yes, by that. At the third day, he's still where we have to see. To come back with his. Is this really happening?
Frankly speaking, was it really wrong to go to the sepulchre? No! There was nothing wrong about it. You see, let me tell you, Jesus expected them to come there and see. Do you know that when the stone was rolled away miraculously, why was it rolled away? So that Jesus could come out. So that people could come in and see. See, Jesus didn't have to have the stone rolled away. He would just diffuse through the resurrection body. They didn't have to open the door for him in the upper room. He just came in. He didn't need to have the stone rolled away, but so that people can come in and confirm. There was nothing wrong about going there to see. I would have loved to go there. Now wait. See, the point now is this. Because they went there, we now have a witness. Jesus wanted eyewitnesses to just about everything. So we now have eyewitnesses to report what they saw in the sepulcher. When they saw the cloth that was used to wrap him, the man is sad, but they did not really unwind the wrapping cloth. The wrapping cloth remained there like a tube. Do you follow my point? Not unwrapped, but like a tube. The Bible said he saw, then he believed it. He understood. If this thing is like this, then the man did not wake up to walk away. He must have diffused out. Do you follow my point? Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One more question or comment, and we can close for today. Yes, ma'am.
I think that this.
Please use this. Okay.
Simple and practical way.
Yes.
Is exercised by every Christian who can be exercised by Christians.
Can be, yes.
Can be. Simple faith that accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior is one of God's saved souls.
Yes.
A radical faith. I think I'm asking whether. I'm just saying, am I wrong in thinking that a Christian can
expect to.
Of course, we are expected to. But most of us exercise simple faith more than we exercise radical faith. But we all exercise some level of radical faith from time to time. I'm not saying that everybody must go out and say, son, stay there. No. We just took a big example from the Bible. Okay. If you say that, the sun will set at the normal time. Hallelujah.
I think another example of radical faith may be that of Elisha too.
Of course. There are many in the Bible. Yes. I took one example only. There are others in the Bible. Yes.
Is this radical faith? I was driving somewhere, and there was no way we can go. And then we said, yeah, come, let us agree. And we agreed. And then, I can't see this car. We are going. And the boy there was saying, holy mama, this is the car we can see. I said, I cannot see. With my faith, I cannot see. If you move, and within 10 minutes, after all that came and did something, and the thing was moving. And the boy was saying, great.
I think so. I think so. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Let's begin to pray. Let's pray. Let everybody just bless the name of the Lord. Just bless the Lord. The Lord is so good. The Lord is so wonderful. The Lord is so wonderful. He's so good. There is none like Him. There is none like Him. Let us thank God for giving us the grace to hear these things. These things that the wise and the prudent do not have the opportunity to hear. Glory to God. And I want you to talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe. I believe. For each of us, there is some area of unbelief in our lives, one thing or another. Say to the Lord, help my unbelief. Any area of unbelief in my life, Jesus, I believe in you. Help me. You are the Son of God. You are the Savior of mankind. And there is none like you. Just bless the name of the Lord. And I want you to pray now as we continue with these teachings. That Lord, you will reveal yourself to me even beyond what this servant of yours can teach. You will reveal yourself to me in a wonderful way. And as you bless me, Lord, make me a blessing to others. Give me grace to teach others what I have learned from you. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here tonight who says, I want to give my life to Jesus? I want to give my life to Jesus. Please raise up your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody who says, I want to give my life to Jesus. You have not given your life before. You want to give your life now. Please just raise up your hand. And I will just pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody has a need for healing? Please just raise up your hand where you're sitting. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. We glorify your holy name. If you're raising up your hand, just make up your mind. Some people are doing it slowly as if they're not sure. Thank you, Jesus. Please just rise up. I want you to just step towards me, starting from the front row. Those who raised up their hands. Those who raised up their hands. Okay. Yes, starting from the front row. I'm just going to pray with you. And be in agreement with me now. As my hand comes upon you, you are healed.
Amen.
You are suddenly healed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
You sent your word.
You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer.
But what's the problem?
Fibroid, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I command you loose now and depart. Depart completely in the name of Jesus. You're growing in her like a tree, but God did not plant you in there. Be uprooted now. Now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Receive a deep anointing of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Receive that anointing. You are healed. You are made whole. Completely whole. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.